When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into First Take. It is a Saints game day Monday night football. Make sure you stock up on Bud Light. We're broadcasting live from the Rouse's Market, 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Come grab some last-minute stuff if you need to while you're out getting ready for all the Christmas presents. That'll be a spectacular tomorrow. It's hard to believe it's Christmas season's already here, Charlie. I mean, everything just runs by so quick, and we just have three Saints games left in the season, too.
I know, and we're doing the second guest show tomorrow on Christmas Eve.
Right.
I'm like, wait a second. That's crazy. It's already Christmas, almost Christmas Eve, but that's fun.
Oh, and I bet you the Silver Slipper Casino is going to be jamming on a Christmas Eve for sure.
Especially if the Saints can pull off a huge upset win here. 14.5-point underdogs in Green Bay against the Packers, and we've talked about the Packers as a team, their strengths. I mean, they don't really have many weaknesses, especially on defense. Offensively, they're stout in the run game, stout in the passing game. But Steve, I want to look back at their season at a glance here before we get into some of the Darren Rizzi audio.
Sure.
They lose that opener in Brazil against Philadelphia, who turned out to be a fantastic team. They're one of the best teams in the NFC this season. And then they lose Jordan Love
in that game, right?
Yes, they lose Jordan Love in that game. So they get off to an 0-1 start, and then, you know, Malik Willis comes in and plays Superman. They beat the Colts and the Titans back-to-back weeks, so they get off to a 2-1 start. They lose to the Vikings, who are 13-2 right now. So they're having a fantastic season of their own. But ever since then, starting in October, Steve, they've gone 8-2. And those two losses that they've suffered, 24-14 to the Detroit Lions, 34-31 to the Detroit Lions. They've fallen to Detroit twice. That's the only team that's beaten them since October. Like, you're looking, they beat the Rams, they beat the Cardinals, the Texans, the Jaguars. Okay, the Jaguars might be a gimme. The Bears, same thing. They're not very good, but it is a divisional opponent. They smoked San Francisco. They beat down Miami. And then just this past week on Sunday Night Football in Week 15.
They whacked Seattle.
Seattle. And that was a Seattle team that was kind of, you know, trending in the right direction, winning record. They're kind of competing for the top of the NFC West, which is currently owned by the Rams. But that's kind of what I'm saying here, Steve, is that this team is hot as well. Like, they get off to a 2-2 start. They're a 10-4 team right now. They've gone 8-2 in their last 10 weeks, their last 10 games. And the only team that's beaten them is the best team in the NFC, the Detroit Lions. So, you know, 14.5-point underdogs. So,
now, you know why oddsmakers have this such an inflated number against the Saints team that, you know, the starters for them, it's hard, you know, to name anybody anymore that was a playmaker on this, especially the offensive side of the ball that's active.
Yeah, it's a baseline look at the Packers as well. I mean, because we can do further breakdown of their proficiencies on offense and defense. But just looking at their season at a glance, after kind of a slow start where they lose to Philadelphia, Malik Willis wins a couple games, but then they lose to Minnesota, they've really been on a roll over the last 2 months. This is a team that's peaking kind of at the right time as we're getting into the end of the season. And, you know, even if they don't win the NFC North, which I think is basically out of kind of reach for them at this point, they play Minnesota next week as well, so it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. This is a team that's going to be either a 5 or a 6 seed that nobody in the NFC wants to be hosting in the first round or even the divisional round. So they're one of those wild card teams as of now. That's only a wild card team because the NFC North is so good. They have three of the best, I would say, five teams in the NFC. You can make the argument three of the best four teams in the NFC come from one division. So
it's pretty remarkable when you look at, obviously, the North. Looking at the flip side, though, the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons have now taken over possession of first place in the division at 8-7. Tampa Bay ended up losing in Dallas, so those two teams are tied. But the Dirty Birds hold the tiebreaker over the Buccaneers right now.
I didn't get to watch the Falcons game against the Giants. I saw the interception that quote-unquote interception that Michael Penix threw, where he put it right in Kyle Pitts' hands. Oh, and Kyle Pitts, it was a Christmas gift.
Yeah,
he gave it right to
him.
Like,
here you go.
Yeah, no, take it.
And
no, it was in the red
zone. Always talk about that. That's a stat that should not fall on the quarterback.
Exactly.
Right there.
It's, and you know, it wasn't like Juwan Johnson dropping the pass in the end zone for Spencer Rattler this past week. But yeah, now with the Falcons beating the hapless New York Giants, who are enjoying the top of the tankathon list right now because the Raiders won yesterday, which is also crazy. You have now Tampa Bay has fallen out of the playoff race as of now, but both those teams are 8-7. We'll see kind of what happens there.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Tampa Bay Bucs need Atlanta now to lose at least one of their final two games.
Because Kirk Cousins cooked them both times he played them. And so they own the tiebreaker over them. But yeah, no, if you're Tampa Bay, you're rooting on Atlanta to drop one more game. But once again, if you're looking at the NFC standings right now, Minnesota and Green Bay are both significantly better than the Falcons and the Rams. And they may be traveling on the road for those first-round matchups because of how the divisions work. So, you know, even if Green Bay wins tonight, which they're obviously significantly favored to do, they improved to 11-4 overall. Packers fans, they might have to travel in that first round, but they'll still be favored.
We've talked about weather in this matchup. I don't think it's going to be a factor for this team unless, you know, the ball gets wet, and that's the worst thing that could happen in the situation. But it's not a rainy game. There's no real wind being an issue in the matchup. The temperatures are going to be around 30 degrees, maybe the late 20s, but nothing so serious where guys are talking about, you know, ice cold, you know, single-digit degree temperatures at Lambeau Field being an ice bowl game. It's going to be snowy outside because it's been doing that there all this week, but it's not going to be a game where the cold weather is going to be affecting players because they're going to be on the heaters on the sidelines. The ball might be a little harder, though, for the kickers. That'll be interesting to see during warm-ups how Blake Groupie fares, you know, trying to kick those in Lambeau Field with the weather out there being so cold, at least affecting the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be, from what I'm looking at right now, Steve, low 30s around kickoff time. And it's not really going to dip much below that, but it's also supposed to be cloudy, you know, windy. It's not, I don't think it's, we're anticipating a snow game tonight, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So
it'll look wintry.
And if you're thinking about, you know, Lambeau Field in late December, I think you kind of got a balmy, quote-unquote, Lambeau Field with those types of conditions instead of having to deal, as you mentioned, with like those single-digit snow temperatures.
Getting into back into our Saints sound bank as we gear up for Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. Well, interim head coach Darren Rizzi, of course, talking about the pack, and here's what he had to say against this matchup.
Yeah, they're really getting it from all positions. You know, I think I mentioned the other day, when you look at their overall roster, it's hard to pick out a weakness. They really don't have a weakness on their team, and that's, you know, a credit to the organization. They've done a really nice job. They've been really good up front with their defensive line, a number of different guys making plays. Their linebacking crew, they added, you know, they added some pieces to the puzzle there at linebacker. Obviously, the acquisition with McKinney, you know, he's leading the league in interceptions. We've watched a bunch of their – they've caused a bunch of some turnovers down the red zone. Some teams have been able to move the ball. They did it to Seattle last week. Seattle's about to make it a one-score game, and, you know, they intercept Geno in the end zone. So those are the things that are going to be important. They've been able to make big plays and create negative plays, and that's why their defense has been so good. Jeff Hafley obviously came in. I've known Jeff a long time. He's a really, really good coach, and he's got them rolling right now. 11 hats to the ball on that side of the ball, so – it's going to be important. I think the beginning of that game, like I talked about, no different than the quarterback. Just I think the beginning of the game, just, you know, not letting that defense kind of get the snowball going down the hill is going to be really important also.
Rizzi making a comment there about the snowball. Luckily, we won't be having too much of that issue with snow tonight.
Yeah, but you don't want to kind of have it snowball out of control a little bit if you get off to a poor start, and then all of a sudden Spencer Rattler is going to have to throw the ball 45-plus times.
That's worried about playing catch-up, right?
Exactly. That's the game plan you have to avoid. And so that involves getting off to a good start both offensively and defensively. You can't let them, you know, run all over you for the first few drives, and then all of a sudden you're staring at a 10-0, 14-0 deficit. That's the nightmare scenario for this matchup.
You mentioned Spencer Rattler there. Coach Rizzi was asked, what constitutes success for Spencer Rattler in this game?
I think what constitutes success for any quarterback is efficiency. I think I mentioned the other day that the turnover thing is going to be a huge thing always, but certainly on the road and certainly with what their record has been since Matt took over at home. So I think just, you know, I think getting a good start for him, starting up, getting him some confidence and some positive plays early on. That's what happened last week with Jake. You know, Jake just had some negative plays early, and I kind of felt like it piled up on him. I think the start of the game is going to be important. You know, we got to get him some confidence, get him rolling, but really just being efficient. And obviously, we're playing in some elements. Hopefully, it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, but it's certainly different than here. And so getting acclimated to that will be important as well. But listen, I think like I said earlier, any quarterback limiting the negative plays, you know, and being efficient. And then we just haven't done a good job overall in the last month or so on third downs. And I think when we get ourselves in some third manageables and converting to drives and continuing drives is going to be really important against this team in that environment.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach Rizzi talking about Spencer Rattler there, and we were kind of, you know, going through the takeaway giveaway differential throughout the NFL while we were listening to that audio, Charlie. Unbelievably, the Buffalo Bills plus 20 on the season right now, but not too far behind them, this Green Bay Packers bunch at plus 10. So, you know, they're limiting their giveaways, and they are taking advantage of those opportunities with interceptions and fumble recovery.
Yeah, remember how I mentioned Xavier McKinney, the free agent safety signing that they added in the offseason, and how he has 7 interceptions, which is tied for first in the NFL? If you're Spencer Rattler, you need to know where he's at all times.
Yeah.
You don't want this guy, the ball hawk that he is, creating a takeaway turnover, and then all of a sudden you're on the minus side of the field. But yeah, Steve, this is a real fun stat because the Packers are tied for fourth in the NFL at plus 10 in turnover differential. And if you're looking at, you know, turnover differential, Buffalo plus 20 is number one. That's unbelievable. Pittsburgh is plus 17 at number two.
They don't even have double-digit giveaways on the season, Buffalo. They have 6 picks, 2 fumbles on the year. So eight giveaways.
Yeah, taking care of the ball for sure. Pittsburgh is number two at plus 17. Houston, Green Bay and the Chargers and the Vikings are all in double digits, plus 11 for Houston, and then plus 10 for Green Bay, Los Angeles, and Minnesota. Detroit at plus 9. Are you seeing kind of a trend here? All these teams are playoff teams, and they're all, you know, top in the turnover differential. And then you have the outlier, the Chicago Bears.
Well, that was like the Saints last year. They were a plus, what was it, 11?
Yeah, right. The Chicago Bears are plus 8, and they're obviously not a playoff team. But then you continue down the list, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Rams, all these teams that are at the top half of the league in turnover differential are in the playoffs. And scrolling all the way to the bottom, I just wanted to double check. Wow. Yeah, now the Cleveland Browns have actually passed the Las Vegas Raiders. I know the Raiders are really bad. The Browns are minus 18. The Raiders are minus 17. So I would say that the turnover differential constitutes success, as Bobby always says. And the Packers are elite at it, plus 10 on the season. So, you know, as Rizzi said, for Spencer Rattler, taking care of the ball and making sure he doesn't turn it over, which hasn't been a huge issue for him early on. He's only got two picks in the four games that he's appeared in so far. But yes, definitely making sure that you limit those turnovers is going to be huge.
You looking at the Saints defense, they were able to get 8 sacks against the Commanders, and obviously some of those weren't necessarily sacks. They were forcing Jaden Daniels out of bounds for zero gain, which ends up being a sack. I don't know if the NFL should change that stat category, but it we'll take the 8 sacks, though, in the game, but it wasn't really 8 sacks, so they did get 6 in the game.
Yeah, it was,
they're still credited with 8.
Right, right. No, I remember, like, DeMario had, like, pushed him out, you know, just behind the line of scrimmage, and that was technically credited as a sack. So if you're talking about legit sacks, I think it was about 6, right, as you mentioned, Steve. So, but still, a really strong performance from the Saints defensive line that's been one of the, kind of the disappointing parts of this team so far. And yeah, Rizzi was talking about building off that 6-8 sack performance against Washington for this matchup against Green Bay.
Yeah, listen, I think that group's playing with confidence right now. I think the best part about the defensive line right now is it's not one-dimensional. We've gotten production from a number of different guys. That's kind of, I think, how we forecasted the season coming into it, is we felt like we had depth at that position. Maybe at some points during the beginning of the year, you know, we kind of played with some peaks and valleys there. I think we're playing much more consistent on the D-line. That's going to be extremely important for this game, the way they run the ball, the way they've been, and when they mix in their play action, their pass protection. So I think, like I said, I think BY, as I said earlier in the week, has done a tremendous job with that change of scenery there in that room. I think that he's got the group playing with confidence right now, and so that's going to be a huge aspect for this game. One of our goals this week is naturally on both sides of the ball, like it is every week, to win the line of scrimmage. That's what they've done, particularly at home, and so that's going to be a great matchup to watch.
Looking at the Saints and their sacks this season, right now, could you name the leader on the black and gold in the sack department?
Yeah, the guy that everyone expected to take that sophomore leap, and he has in ways, and he's still got areas to improve on. Mickey Loomis talked about that. Brian Bercy, the Saints defensive tackle, 7.5 sacks on the season for the black and gold. And, you know, we were mentioning the Packers have 40 sacks on the season, which is a good number to be at this point. You know, Bobby always says the elite teams are always above 50 by the end of the year, and they're kind of on pace to potentially reach that. But the Saints, with that 8-sack performance that they had against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, are now up to 37 on the season. So, you know, one of those kind of spots that we thought was pretty disappointing early on, having an 8-sack day obviously helps.
A guy that's turned it up of late is Chase Young. He's been getting pressures, I feel, all season, but has been able to dial it up and really registering some sacks the last couple of games. He's up at 5.5 now, tied with Carl Granderson right behind Brazee. And, yeah, we need to see more out of him, more out of Granderson. Even Cam Jordan getting into the mix would be nice for this pass rush against a stout Green Bay Packers offensive line that, you know, they've been doing a heck of a job protecting Jordan Love, and I don't know where he ranks currently in sacks this year, but I don't feel like he's been getting a ton of pressure in, you know, when he's trying to deliver the ball.
Yeah, barring an explosive final 3 weeks for either Carl Granderson or Chase Young, the Saints defensive ends probably won't have that coveted 10 sack season. They're both at 5.5 right now, and so they would obviously need to turn up the heat a bunch to be able to get that. Jordan Love's been sacked 11 times this season. The whole year, 11 times. And as far as looking at his stats, I mean, getting pressure on him is going to be huge because, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, like the kind of group of weapons that he can throw to, there's no real true wide receiver one. The closest you have to, like, the true X on this team is the big receiver, Christian Watson. But if Jaden Reed, you know, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, like, even Bo Melton, and obviously also the Tucker Kraft getting involved in the passing game as well. he's got so many different weapons to spread the ball around too, that it's almost impossible to really get after and defend this passing attack because so many different guys can hurt you. So it's real tough. I mean, Jaden Reed currently leads them with 727 receiving yards on the season, 6 touchdowns as well, is really nice. Tucker Kraft with 7 touchdowns on the season leads the team, but he's also got 555 yards. And Christian Watson, as I mentioned, kind of that deep threat X receiver, the big body type of guy at 620 receiving yards this season. Also 21.4 yards per catch. Steve, so if you're looking at someone to throw a deep shot to that you're going to have to make sure he doesn't beat the deep coverage, it's their kind of big body receiver in Christian Watson.
Looking at this Green Bay Packers offense, we talked about the guy that stirs the drink for them in running back Josh Jacobs. Head coach Darren Rizzi talked about the matchup against a big bruising back, and here's what Riz had to say about Jacobs.
His usage, the way they use him, the way Matt uses him in the offense is really impressive. He can run many different types of plays. He's not just a downhill runner. He can get in the open field and he makes people miss. And so he's a big challenge. I mean, he's playing at such a high level right now. He's playing as one of the best backs in the league. And so and then when you look at what he's done in their home games, it's even more, you know, more impressive. They really get him going. He's one of those guys that get going early in the game. He gets his touches, and you look what he did in Seattle the other day. You know, they started the game off, and he just kind of controlled the game. And that's what he does, the run after catch, the yards after contact. That's really the most maybe impressive thing about him. Rarely does the one guy alone or the first guy there get him on the ground. He's running through contact. That's going to be a huge part of this game. We've done a better job of that the last couple of weeks, and we need to continue, to have that, that success and stopping the run, because that's really right now their offense is just feeding off of him, and I mean, it's impressive.
So the yards after contact seems to stand out, and do you have any sense of why he's been so good in that area?
Like, well, he's a really strong, powerful runner. Even if you look back to his college days, you know, studying him coming out of college, he was a similar thing. He's not a guy you're going to be able to arm tackle. He's a guy you're going to have multiple hats to the ball. You know, we're going to have to do a great job with our swarm. You know, we're going to have to run into the football, the pursuit, because like I said, if he's going through the line of scrimmage and you're just trying to reach out and tackle him, you're not getting that guy on the ground. You need to, you know, make sure our tackling, our wrap, all those things, and that's going to be a challenge with the weather too.
Coach Rizzi talking about Josh Jacobs, who has 1,147 rushing yards, another 302 receiving, and a total of 13 touchdowns on the season. Definitely a guy that's been a fantasy stud for folks and a big problem for this Saints squad going into this game.
So people will look at, you know, the 12 touchdowns and think that I'm kind of underselling him as a touchdown machine, but you got to look a little bit into what he's done recently. And if you're looking at the last few games, starting with Chicago just a few weeks ago, basically the last 5 games that you're looking at, he had 1 touchdown against Seattle on the ground. He had 3 touchdowns on the ground against Detroit, 1 against Miami, 3 against San Francisco, and 1 against Chicago. I mean, he's been a touchdown machine. That is 9 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks.
Definitely need to contain him tonight. That's going to be a big issue for the black and gold defense.
Right.
We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, we'll check in at Lambeau Field with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, get the weather conditions firsthand from him. Like I said, we'll be back with more right after this at the Rouse's Market, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. Be back after this on WWL. Welcome back into First Take, live at the Rouse's Market here on 2900 Veterans Boulevard, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light right now. We're going to head out to Lambeau Field, where my counterpart on the Inside Black and Gold podcast and our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, is stationed. So you are still alive, Jeff Nowak. How's it going?
Yeah. I feel like I've built it up so much in my mind that this doesn't even feel cold to me right now. I'm not on the field yet. I'm looking down from the press box, but the windows are open. So I got the full weather in front of me. There's still a tarp on the field, so that's the interesting process right now, is watching them take this kind of Velcro tarp apart. But the weather, you know, it snowed a good bit today. We did get it's winter in Wisconsin feeling of the snow falling, but looks like it's all cleared out. So I don't know if you'll see snowflakes during the game, but, you know, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I just saw your tweet of the de-tarping of the field has begun. What is, besides the weather not being too bad temperature-wise, how's the wind conditions over in Lambeau?
I don't think you're going to get too much wind. I don't see the flag at the top of the stadium is moving a little bit, but the flags on the upgrades aren't. So I don't think that I really don't think the conditions, other than being kind of cold, are really going to be a factor. I think it'll end up being not that similar to what we had in New York a couple weeks ago, just maybe, I don't know, 8-10 degrees colder.
Yeah, obviously this matchup, though, against a much tougher ball club in the Green Bay Packers, they seem to have no weaknesses all around, offense, defense, even in special teams. But when you look at this start now for Spencer Rattler, what are you hoping to see from him? Obviously building off of that last performance against the Commanders, especially that two-minute drive everybody's raved about, obviously, where he put the team in position to actually win the game. But now what are you looking for him to do in this matchup against a Green Bay Packers squad that is definitely postseason built and legitimate?
Yeah, you know, I think for Spencer it's going to be, hey, I want to get off to a good start. If you go back and you look at his three games against, you know, three good teams, right? Tampa Bay, Denver, and the L.A. Chargers. You know, what stands out there is, hey, he did not have any success early on in those games. They had that kind of weird second quarter where the Bucs turned it over a bunch of times. You had the kick punt return touchdown. But other than that, he just didn't get a lot going. So I think that's what he was able to do against the Commanders. He came in first drive, converted a 3rd and 10, went down the field. Obviously, Cedric Wilson threw that touchdown pass, but there was also that long completion to MVS that set that up. So I think just building that confidence early, anytime you have a young player in there, is going to be important. It's something Darren Rizzi talked about this week. And, you know, my question is, okay, so we saw him come in relief and look good, but how much of that is, hey, I don't really have a chance to really overthink anything. I'm just coming off the bench and playing. I asked Darren about that this week, and he agreed. Like, it can sometimes be an easier scenario for a young quarterback, whereas, hey, he's had all week to think about the plan and overthink about the plan and think about first down plans and third down plans and red zone plans, and then you get out there and you freeze, right? And I think that's what I don't want to see this week. You want to see a player that, you know, he's still a rookie. You're still going to see rookie moments, but you want to see a player that took the lessons from those first three starts and applies them to this game. And if you can do that and you can have some positive moments early, I think you have a chance. If you can't and it kind of snowballs on you, no pun intended, you know, it'll get ugly and you don't have the weapons, right? Like, you don't have the wide receivers. MVS is questionable. You know, it sounds like he's going to be a game time decision. He's dealing with a chest injury and he's been sick all week. Alvin Kamara is not going to be out here, so you're going to be relying on Kendre Miller, Jamal Williams, Jordan Mims. It's going to be interesting, but I think there's a scenario where you come out of this game feeling good about what you saw, even if it's not a win. And that scenario is these young players, Spencer Rattler, Kendre Miller, have really strong days and kind of give you some optimism going the rest of the way.
You were talking about the running backs there, Jeff, and that's where I wanted to go exactly. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not elevated for this game. He's not ready for action yet to be in black and gold for this matchup. But obviously, with no Alvin Kamara, Kendre Miller will probably get the lion's share of the workload in the backfield for the black and gold. But I've been seeing Jamal Williams active on the social media, Twitter and whatnot, saying, you know, back where it all started here at Green Bay. So hopefully this is some kind of wake-up call for him, because he's a guy that, you know, so much was expected, or you wanted to see a lot from this, you know, tough physical style runner coming to New Orleans, and it just really hasn't been the case since he's come here. Maybe this can be the game that can provide some kind of spark for him and the team going in these final stretch of the games.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't say that we've seen a ton of him in general. Like, it's not like he's been getting 10, 15 carries a week and not taking advantage of him. He just hasn't been getting touches. So, you know, maybe just the energy around this game for him will be positive, and you can see him kind of lean on some folks. I think this is the type of game that a Jamal Williams is kind of built for, you know, kind of that smash mouth cold weather. You're going to beat him up. You're not going to want to pass the ball too much in these conditions. So, yeah, if there was ever a game for Jamal, you know, obviously this is where he got drafted. He spent 4 years here playing with Aaron Rodgers, this really good Packers offenses. You know, and he played in Detroit. He's played in his division even after that. So, no, I do think this is probably a game that you'll get a motivated Jamal Williams. Just don't know, you know, how effective he'll be. But no, I think it's going to be, hey, Kendre Miller, you're going to get the first go at this. You're going to get the lion's share of the reps. And, you know, the only way I see this being a Jamal Williams game is if Kendre doesn't deliver in those early opportunities and you feel like you have to go away from him. So hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully he can not only get out there, be effective, stay healthy, and this could be a kind of a signature game for him. If you remember last year, he missed the first 2 weeks of the season
So this is where he made his NFL debut in Lambeau Field. You know, his cohorts in that game was Tony Jones Jr., if you recall, way back in that regular season last year with all those injuries. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think if you can run the ball, make Spencer Rattler's life a lot easier, that'll go a long way.
I know the tarp was on the field and you know, coming off right now, Jeff, but did you get a chance to walk through the stadium, at least, and seeing that grass? I know Coach Rizzi talked about having to make sure they've got the right cleats for this game, seeing a bunch of teams that were in Lambeau Field slipping and sliding on that surface.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be something that Riz, you know, I know earlier this week he's been doing the visual aids thing. Well, this week the visual aid was like work boots. He came into the team meeting with a pair of work boots and to emphasize like, hey, we got to be wearing the right equipment to get out there and do the job and get the job done. We're here to work. And so, you know, Jamal Williams actually talked about that this week. Like some guys, you know, there's the screw-ins, like people want to wear their molded cleats because that's what they're more comfortable in. But in this environment, you really just got to suck it up and wear the kind of screw-in cleats to give you a little more traction. And I think you're going to be, that's what these guys are going to be wearing. And hopefully that does solve the problem. You know, there's only so much cleats can do for you. At a certain point, you are going to slip. It is going to be kind of slick condition. So, you know, it's going to be on the players too to kind of stay, you know, over their skis a little bit, right? Like you have to understand what you can do and what you can't do, particularly on defense and with the defensive backfield. I think we look at the offense and we look at, you know, running back slipping, getting in and out of cuts and receivers. But in this type of weather, what is way more impactful is when a DB just slips coming out in coverage and you blow a coverage and the guy's standing there wide open downfield. And that can result in some big plays. So it's not just offense, it's defense as well that you got to watch for.
Well, Jeff, enjoy this once-in-a-lifetime experience, getting to be on the sideline Monday night right before Christmas, Lambeau Field. Enjoy it. Have a great call on the game and be talking to you tomorrow morning on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Who dat, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Got to go break out the hand warmers now. That's an important part of this process.
For sure. Definitely appreciate it. First Take, we are rolling on here. It's brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Coming up next at 5 o'clock will be the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, joining us here at the Rouse's Market at 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Stop by and say hey. Also, shop and save at the Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Taking a break. Be back with more of First Take right after this break on WWL. Getting closer and closer to kickoff between the Saints and Packers. Monday night football action right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app at 7 o'clock. Coming up at 5, the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to remind everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations, $31,190. We're taking a break here on First Break and be back to close things out right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. We are back here on First Take. Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. We're closing out here, First Take, as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. The New Orleans Saints at the 10-4 Green Bay Packers. Black and gold, heavy, heavy underdogs in this matchup. We're hoping a little Christmas magic can do some good for this black and gold bunch in Green Bay, and they can pull out a win against a heavily favored Packers bunch. You look at some of the numbers here. Spencer Rattler making his fourth career NFL start. He's passed for 135 yards and a touchdown with zero interceptions for an 84.4 rating last week. He's making his second career road start. His first one was week 8 at the Chargers. The big question will be, and we'll find out later on, if Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to be able to suit up in this matchup. He had a team-high 64 receptions, receiving yards last week. He's got 50-plus receiving yards in 4 of his last 5 games and had 123 receptions for 2,153 yards and 13 TDs in 59 games with the Packers. So maybe we can get an MVS revenge game here against those dreaded Green Bay Packers as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up next. Want to thank Charlie Long and also Cullen Steele for helping us out with the show here. We're going to take a break and be right back with more as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up next on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.